trouble. I talked about the call, the chosen, and the faithful. And we covered Jeremiah 30 and 7, and we covered Revelation 17, 12 through 14. And we talked a little bit about heaven. And I made this statement. Heaven is not the kingdom of God. Heaven is a much bigger expanse, a much bigger area, includes a whole lot more people than just the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is in heaven, but heaven is not the kingdom. The kingdom is in heaven. The kingdom is a city. In the final heaven age, it's a city three-fifths the size of the United States. In the millennial age, which follows this age immediately, which begins when Christ comes back at his second advent, there is what I call a city complex, a very large city that covers all of the central part of Israel and actually extends a little ways on the other side of the Jordan. Now, when you talk about, I want to enter into the kingdom, you're talking about a saved person who, when they get to heaven, wants to live inside that kingdom city and the millennial reign, and wants to live inside the kingdom city in the final heaven age, the kingdom city being about three-fifths the size of the United States, and a whole new earth, which I assume will be relatively the same size as this one. But the new earth is going to be very expansive, very large, even if it were smaller than this present earth, which I think it'll be the same size or larger. So there are going to be a lot of people in heaven. They're all going to be there by God's grace. They're all going to have been saved by grace. And they'll all have glorified bodies. And all tears will have been wiped away from their eyes by the end of that final heaven age. So what's the purpose of being faithful to God? Well, it's based on faith. And it's based on how much you really believe what God has to say. It doesn't take a whole lot to be saved. You just have to realize you're a sinful human being, and that unless Jesus intervenes, unless God saves you, you're headed for hell. It's that simple. And so you repent of what you are, acknowledging you're a sinful human being, acknowledge that you're helpless to save yourself, and then you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, knowing that no one else can. And he saves you. Well, once he saves you, the first thing he tries to get you to do is to be baptized. Some people do and some people don't. And the people who do are always saying, and I've heard so many say, I don't understand why they don't get baptized. I don't understand why they don't get baptized. I do. Took me 11 years. I know why they don't get baptized. It's just a question of not being willing to do it. It's plain, simple. Finally, I did. Well, why is it that after they get baptized, some of them continue faithful in the church? Some of them try to do what God wants in their lives. They fail constantly, just like I do. But there are these people that keep confessing their sin, keep acknowledging how much they owe the Lord, and keep attending church and being faithful to the Lord. God does not expect us to climb Mount Everest. How many times have you heard me say that? I know you're tired of it, but it's a very important point. God doesn't expect you to climb Mount Everest. He just expects you to keep on being faithful and running a race until you draw your last breath. Now, he's put a place down here called the local New Testament church where you can do that. And so when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we won't have any excuses. Now, heaven is not the kingdom. The kingdom is in heaven. Not everyone that is saved will be chosen to live in the kingdom city of God in heaven. Many answer the call to salvation and are bound for an eternity in heaven in glorified bodies. But the number that are chosen to live in the immediate presence of Christ, he'll be in both cities, are few because of a failure to be faithful to the end of life. Everybody always associates rewards in heaven with the dynamic personality and the tremendous output of work and the great recognition that some person has as a great child of God, a great soldier of the cross. And they associate it with some type of personality that seems to always be on fire for Jesus. Well, the problem is, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible indicates that some people are dynamic. Some people have a lot of talent. Some people are especially good at some things and not at others. And the one thing the Bible emphasizes more than anything else is something that anybody can do. Once you're saved, once you're scripturally baptized, you can work for the Lord. You can serve the Lord. And there's nobody stopping you but you yourself. And whatever talents you have, whatever abilities you have, God gave you. And so it's just making best use of what you have. Now, I went through and talked a great deal about what Jesus did when he came. And when Jesus and John came, they weren't just witnessing to a whole bunch of people that were lost. Many of those people in Israel were saved. They were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for him to come. They believed he would come. But when he came, they didn't recognize him because they were looking for a different kind of Messiah who would bring in a literal, physical, material kingdom, meet all their physical desires and needs, and make Israel the number one nation on the earth. So when Jesus showed up, he was just like God. You know, kindness and love and mercy is not a characteristic of God. It is God. When people say, what are the characteristics of God? No, God is love. And God is kindness. And God is mercy. That is his basic nature. And when Jesus showed up, we got a good dose of what God is like. Even after Christ had been buried, resurrected from the dead, and was about to ascend into heaven, sure enough, right there on the Mount of Olives, the disciples said to him when they were come together, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now, we know John the Baptist said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We know that Jesus preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was offering them the kingdom. He wasn't offering it to lost people. He was offering salvation to lost people. But once they were saved, he was offering them kingdom. I tend to say a lot, and they rejected their king and their kingdom. They wouldn't receive him. And I point an accusing finger at the Jews. But the truth is, in this last age of the Gentiles are also rejecting their king and rejecting the kingdom. Because once you're saved, the Lord says, now come on. Here's the kingdom. I'm the king. Come on in. If you think that you get all there is to get from the Lord the moment you get saved, you don't know the Bible. Because God has a reward waiting for all who are willing to serve him after they're saved. Now, I pointed out in Matthew 6, 33, 34, he told these 11 men, after he had called them out as a church, that they were supposed to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. They already had the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. They were already saved and heaven bound. They were already scripturally baptized. They were already a local New Testament church. So what conclusion can I draw from that? Every member of God's church, local church, is supposed to continually seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness and make a heartfelt effort to serve the king so that they can be a part of his kingdom in the millennial age, in the heaven age, and forever. Many are called to salvation, but not all choose to receive it. Most of the people that are convicted by God's Holy Spirit that hear the gospel, most people, the vast majority, do not choose to receive it. They will not acknowledge and admit their sinfulness. They will not repent of what they are and come to Christ realizing he's the only one that can save me. They just won't do it. So I say many are called. You can put the word all there if you'd like. All are called to salvation, but not all choose to receive it. Many are called to service after they receive salvation. You can put the word there for all instead of many if you'd like, because you say, well, how many? All. Many are called to service after they receive salvation. Many are. But not all choose to do it. They're called to service, but they won't do it. Listen, I knew full well for 11 years that I was supposed to be serving God in a local church. But I didn't want to serve God in a local church. You say, well, that's no excuse. Yeah, that's just because you're serving. But to me, it was an excuse, and it was worthless. And so finally, I gave up, and I said, all right, Lord, I'll join the church, and I'll be a member of one of your local churches. And I did. But then I discovered that God meant for me to work, to serve him in that church, to learn to love the other members of the church, to contribute to the church, not out of someone standing there with a club beating me to death, because it is the love of God that leadeth thee to repentance. You're supposed to serve God out of a heart of love. And he gave you a heart of love when he saved you. But you also have your own carnal heart and your own carnal eyes and your own carnal ears, your own carnal mind. And so the carnal mind and the carnal heart are continually at war and conflict. And that's why sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. If you don't have a battle in your life with sin, you got real problems. I've had a battle with sin all my life. But for the last 60 years, I've had somebody in there that's on my side. And for the last 30 years, I've had somebody in there that's gotten me through a lot of stuff you wouldn't believe. And I trust him. I like him. You say, well, you should say you love him. No, Peter got in trouble doing that. Matthew 21 through 16. Now, we're going to talk about something that I think is very important. Because he gave this teaching just before he was arrested. Remember, we're in chapter 20. He's arrested not too long after this. And we've been talking about the kingdom of God. So let's take this parable that he gave to the first New Testament church. And let's just look at it and what it says and try to get a simple teaching out of it. Because most of the parables have a simple teaching. Matthew 21 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven. Okay? We're talking about a kingdom. And we're talking about a kingdom of heaven. It's in heaven. So the subject is the kingdom. The kingdom that is in heaven. The kingdom is the subject. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. Remember, he's talking to the church. The Lord's been around a long time. How long is a long time? Forever and ever and ever and ever. How long will he be here? Forever and ever and ever. I'm just a temporary economist that was born on June 2nd, 1932, and whose death is still yet future. But I'm an eternal being now, because I was created by an eternal power. And by the grace of Almighty God, my soul is going to heaven. And by the grace of Almighty God, it's not going to hell. So now, the question is, I'm saved. My soul's going to heaven. Why should I serve God in his local church? Well, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man, that is, referring to God as a man, who owned everything, who made everything, and he went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. The world is his vineyard. Now, I couldn't serve God until I got saved. And I really couldn't serve God properly until after I obeyed his commandment to be baptized. But once I became a member of one of his local churches, I was fully capable of rendering service to my master by the power of his spirit in me. And so are every one of you. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Today we have what's known as a standard wage, minimum wage, I believe they call it. And it's just something that's the lowest wage they pay. Well, at this time when this was written, when Jesus was alive, the Roman government had control of Israel. And most of the standard wages were established by certain laws, tax officials, and customs. The standard wage for one day's labor, was a penny. It's really a denarion. They translated it penny, and that's fine. That was the standard wage. And he sent them into the vineyard. Now, it was early in the morning, so he went out and he sent them into the vineyard. Now, some of them, when he sent them into the vineyard, labored very, very hard. Some labored more than others. And they bore the heat of the day. They went through a lot more than you and I have ever gone through. They went through rejection. They went through persecution. They went through stoning. They labored in the heat of the day. And he went out about the third hour. Okay, that's about 9 o'clock in the morning. So I assume these others started working somewhere around 6. And he saw others standing idly in the marketplace. He wanted them to come into the vineyard. He wanted them to work for him. And he said to them, "Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you." And they went their way. Now, I don't imagine that everyone he called said, "Okay." I don't imagine everyone agreed to do this. But he called them to the service. God calls men and women to service in his local church. I'm going to say that again with emphasis. God calls men and women to serve him in his local church. You say, "Well, what about those people that are serving him and they're not in his local church?" God calls men and women to serve him in his local church. You decide about those others. I just know what the Scripture teaches. So I'm saved. I'm scripturally baptized. And I'm in one of his local churches. Not everyone that God calls to serve in his local church does it. But it tells you about the ones that did. Doesn't say that all those people that were standing around there idle rocks over to him and he had more than he could handle. It just says some of them here, he saw them standing idle, and they went their way. They went, they worked. Again, he went out the sixth hour at noon, at the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and did likewise. Apparently, he had a hard time getting people to do it, enough people to do it. And so he had to go out, and he went out at noon, and he went out again at 3 o'clock, and he made the same offer. I don't imagine everybody that made the offer accepted it. I think a lot of people that are saved never do accept this offer. I think they don't accept the offer to be baptized properly. And people in this church have asked me, "I can't understand why these people don't submit to baptism. I can't understand why they don't do that." It's always been that way. Shouldn't be a shocker to us. Shouldn't be a shocker to me either. It happens. And did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out. He really wants to make a point with this. He's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. They're pretty close to quitting time. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, "Why stand ye here all the day idle?" They say unto him, Because no man hath hired me." He said unto them, "Go ye also into the vineyard." He tried with Israel for a very long time, and Israel wouldn't listen to it. He tried in the early part of Israel's history. He tried in the early morning part of Israel's history. He tried in the noontime heat of Israel. He tried them all day long. Finally, at the end, he just went out and got some Gentiles. And they went into the vineyard, and they've been working in the vineyard ever since. He said to them, "Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive." So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward. I assume his steward here is the Lord, Jesus Christ, his son. "Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. Well, it's interesting what happened. They all got paid the same thing, at the same rate, the same rate, whether they were Jew, whether they were Gentile, whether they labored in the early phases, the middle phases, the afternoon phases, the late evening phase, they all got paid a penny. That's very important. Now, what about these people? Well, they were called to service. You cannot be God's servant just because you're saved. A lot of saved people never do serve God. And I don't try to figure it out. I just teach and preach the Bible and leave it as a personal matter between them and God. But now these that did answer the call, let's just take all these people that didn't answer the call to service, and let's push them all over here. And there they all are. I think they were people that were saved, but they just didn't want to surrender to service. Now let's concentrate on these people. They all went. They all labored. Some of them labored longer than others. Some of them went through more trials and tribulations. But what is the one thing? The one thing they all have in common. When he came to pay them, they were all there. They had all continued to serve him to the end of the day. None of them left the vineyard. None of them bailed out. None of them said, "This is too hard, I quit," and left. None of them said, "I'm running home because my mama doesn't like this," or "I'm going home and bury my father." None of them complained. None of them said anything about that. They complained about their wages. But they all labored. And at the end of the day, when he came, they had finished their labor. Now I tell you, without one moment's hesitation and without a second's reservation, the most important thing to God when you finally make up your mind to serve him is to serve him to the end, and not to drop out, and not to quit, and not to run away, but to make up your mind that he's put you in his vineyard. And you may not do a sensational, outstanding job, and you may not be as charming and debonair as other people in the work. You may not have the natural ability they have. You may not be as hard a worker as they are. And you may do less work than they do because you're not physically equipped to do more, or even mentally equipped to do more. But by cracky, I don't care if you're retarded. If you keep on serving God, confessing your sins, and at the end of the day, you're still there doing it when he comes, you have an awful lot to look forward to, a lot more than those people who did not stay to the end of the day. What is the end of the day? Well, for me, if I die before Jesus comes, that day that I die is the end of my day here. It's the end of my day laboring in this vineyard. If I'm here when Jesus comes, it's the end of my labor here for him. You better make up your mind that when he calls you into service, you stay in it. He doesn't care how good looking you are, how charming you are, how good a speaker you are, how intellectual you are, what a clever person you are, how sociably amenable you are. He doesn't care. He just cares whether or not you love him enough to be there at the end of the day. And I'll tell you what's so remarkable about this. This is something any one of you can do. Something I can do. That's why I'm always saying God doesn't call us, expect us to climb Mount Everest. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. He paid them all the same. You say, well, now that doesn't seem fair. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house. I don't know how many times I have heard people mumble and grumble about God should have done this for them, and God should have done that for them. And if God should have done this, and God shouldn't have taken this child, and God shouldn't have caused this, and God shouldn't have called that. And you would almost think that the problem was not with them, but with God. Notice what he said, saying, these have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. That's true. God is no respecter of persons. Now listen to me. It's not how long you labor. It's not how talented you are. It's not exactly when you start to labor in your life, which is your day here. But it's whether you're still there at the finish when the husbandman comes and the harvest is finished. It's whether you're still there. What a way to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, because you gave up, because you quit, because you lost interest. And it's going to be your fault and my fault, because there is no excuse for someone who has chosen to serve God in his church not to do it until the end of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? He said, when I called you into this, did not I tell you I would pay you? Did I tell you that I would pay you an exorbitant amount, a small amount? He said, we agreed for a penny. He said, take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thy eye evil because I'm good? He says, because I'm good, and I paid all of you. He said, why do you look at me with evil in your eye, as though I had done you some great harm? We spend more time judging God than we do praising his name. We spend more time saying, I wonder why God did this, and why did God do that, than we do in serving him. So the last shall be first and the first last. For many be called, but few are chosen. God has called all men to salvation. And not many of them accept. But after they've accepted, he begins to work on them to be baptized the way he directed. Not all of them answer. Well, after many of them are baptized, he wants them to do what they can in his church to serve in it as they can, at least to be faithful. Not many do. But when God gets ready to choose who's going to live in that city in the millennial age and who's going to live in that heavenly city in the final heaven age, I'll tell you who God's going to choose. And it's not going to be based on whether you did 50-year service, 75-year service. It's not going to be based on how many souls you led to the Lord. It's going to be based on if you were there at the end of life, still serving him, no matter when he calls you into his service. And that's the wonderful thing. Because when you stand there, it's not going to be your fault that you didn't serve him for 50 years. It's going to be your fault that you didn't serve him for 10. Off of 5, off of 1. And he is not evil. This may seem unfair to you, but it isn't unfair. Those who were called to service answered. And they all labored to the end of the day. And they all received the same wages. It is not the period of time in which you lived on the earth that determines your reward for the labor. It's not whether you lived at the time Jesus was alive. It's not whether you lived at the time that Moses was alive. It's not whether you lived at the time that Benjamin Franklin was alive. It's not when you lived on this earth, a particular time. It is not the period of time in which you lived that determines your reward for your labor. It is when you were, nor is it when you were called to labor, or how long you labored. But whether you finish the day still working for the Lord. Hebrews 10, 35, 37. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience. There's one word in the Bible. If you ask me, Brother McNamara, what's your favorite word in the Bible? I suppose some would expect me to say love. But it's that one right there. It's hypomene. About half the time it's translated patience. About half the time it's translated endure or endurance. But you have need of endurance. You need to finish the course. You need to finish the race. You need to finish the fight. You need to finish keeping the faith. That after you have done the will of God, after they come to the end of the way, after this life is finished, after your time, your day of labor is finished, either by natural death or when the Lord changes you at the rapture. But you have need of endurance, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. God made you a promise. He said, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Okay. That's his offer. How many people are willing to hear that? How many people are willing to respond to it? And how many people, once they respond to it, stay faithful to the end of their lives? I'll tell you, it would be very difficult for me to pastor if I thought that you had to labor for 50 years, 100 years. If I had to be as talented or as hard a worker as some other people I know. But the truth of the matter is, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. When he does come, he's going to come quickly. I've heard preachers say all my life, well, if Jesus tarries, that's not what that means. It doesn't mean he's holding back coming. It means when he comes, boom, he'll come quickly. And the adverbial modifier uses a descriptive adjective. He says when he comes, he's going to come quick. And there he'll be. And there you'll be. And will you be found faithful? They that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And Jesus said unto him, Luke 9:62. This is what God's interested in. Some people get called late in life to service. Some people get called early in life to service. It's not when you were called. It's how you finish. It's whether you're still laboring in the vineyard when the master comes. Luke 9:62. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. He said, don't look back over your shoulder. He said, don't look at what's behind you. He said, it doesn't matter what's behind you. He says, you just keep running. You just keep laboring. And when I come at the end of the day, whether you die naturally or whether you're changed at the rapture, he said, if you want to be fit for the kingdom of God, once you start plowing, don't quit. Don't stop. Just keep going. Philippians 3:12-14. Paul says, not as though I had already attained. I haven't attained the reward yet. He said, I haven't reached any type of perfection. Either we're already perfect. But he said, I follow after. That's what you have to do. You have to follow after those horses and keep them straight. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. He said, I want to know why the Lord reached out and apprehended me and grasped me. He said, I want to understand that. He tried all his life to understand it. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, I don't understand all this completely. I haven't apprehended everything I should. Now, this is very important. But this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Won't it be ironic at the judgment seat of Christ when we're all there? And so many church members have to answer this question. Why did you not press for the mark of the prize that is in Christ Jesus? And you won't have an answer. I won't have an answer. But if you don't want to be asked that question, then just make sure. If you know Him as Savior, if you've been scripturally baptized, just make sure that you're found serving Him at the end of the day. Because that's what counts with the Lord more than anything else. Thinking enough of Him, being grateful enough, loving Him enough to not stop laboring and to still be laboring when He comes. He's quite a Savior. Brother Charlie Evans.